Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Dear Diary. My period hasn't come yet. I had a lot of bloody noses. Maybe my period is coming out of my nose.
That's Christina Wong. Now, there are many milestones that let us know we're growing up. Graduations, that first kiss, the sudden appearance of body hair. But none of those milestones are filled with as much anticipation and awkwardness as the moment a girl's body announces it's become a woman. And no matter what your background is or what language your family might speak, the moment it all goes down can seem so sudden and confounding, as heard in Christina Sinsoon's diary.
I watched Dr. Quinn, and when I was about to go to bed, I found what looked like to be caca in my chones. All the Mexicans are laughing. Okay. I told Mommy I thought it was my period. She said to sleep with toilet paper in my chones, and if I had any in the morning, then it was my period. When I woke up, I was disappointed. It still looked like cockies in my chones. So I went downstairs to play Nintendo. At 10 a.m., I found more cockies. So I wiped my buns, but there was nothing. So then I wiped my colita, and it had blood. I told Mommy and we bought Maxis. Tomorrow, I'm gonna tell Hannah and make that bitch real jealous.
From PureX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, we travel back in time to present a period piece about periods. Stories about that first major milestone of womanhood in an effort to understand why something that happens to more than half the population can leave so many feeling like freaks of nature. Now, I know this is a topic many of us are often too squeamish to talk about. So, to help us open up the conversation, I thought I'd introduce you to the very first person I ever heard talk about that time of the month.
I am Robin Catcher, and I'm your sister.
Yep, my older sister, Robin. Everything I knew about periods as a kid was from watching Robin deal with hers. So in a way, she's always been my menstrual Yoda. And for her, it started really early.
I knew of no one else in my grade who had her period in the fifth grade. I didn't know anybody else with it. And, you know, I was the girl who was always getting her bra snapped and was always getting kind of teased about how developed I was. And I already felt like such an oddball. And I was just completely sure that if anyone found out, you know, this was going to make me such a freak. So I kept it a huge secret.
And lucky for Robin, she did have someone who could keep a secret. Her diary.
Dear Trusty, sorry I haven't talked in so long. I've been busy. I have good news and bad news. The good news is I have my period. The bad news is I'm scared. There is so much blood. I could fill up 2 whole blood banks. It's so weird. Mom and I had a long talk about it, but I'm still upset.
And while Robin was the first of her peers to get her period, our next reader, Sarah, was one of the last, which for her was just as embarrassing.
My friends had started already getting their periods and talking about it and complaining about having cramps and needing tampons. And I felt like they were in this club that I just wasn't a part of. So I really wanted any reason to believe that I might be getting my period any day.
Here's Sarah on the Mortified stage in Austin.
Dear Diary, I got my period. I was excited at first, but right now I have major PMS and the worst cramps in the world. I got $200 for my birthday. First thing I did was go to Circuit City, where service is state of the art. I bought a sports Walkman. There aren't words to express how awesome it is. P.S. My mom's a bitch. Well, I didn't actually get my period. I thought I did, and I told my mom that I did. She had like a big dinner in front of my sisters, my stepfather, step-siblings, and gave a toast about how I was a woman now.
And everyone, you know, kind of smiled at me and looked at me knowingly, and I was embarrassed, but I was also proud at the same time. As the weeks and months went by, it never happened again. I didn't get my period again. So it became clear that I didn't actually have my period. And then the idea of anyone finding out that I didn't really have my period after all that, to me, was the most humiliating thing I could imagine. So I really wanted to hide it. I just hoped that nobody would ask me about it and that I'd just kind of fly under the radar.
So it's now been 6 months. I still haven't gotten my period. And I'm skipping school like other grown women do. The one thing I'm missing is I don't have a boyfriend to talk about or sex to talk about. So, dear diary, I made up this guy named Matt Gernstein. And I told everyone that I was going out with him. The story is really believable. I met him at my pool because he goes there when he's at his dad's house. He's in 9th grade. I've already given him a blow. Fiona, Kevin, and I were walking after lunch, and I said, I think I'll call Matt. He's homesick today. I dialed a bunch of numbers. Kevin asked, don't you need a quarter? I said, I'm calling collect. He owes me. I talked to him for a while. Then suddenly the phone started beeping really loud. Loud enough for Kevin to hear. I told Kevin that the phone call was fake, but Matt really did exist. Kevin was too nice to call me out on it. Dear Diary, now I really think I'm getting my period. This time, I've been having cramps all day, and I'm sure this time that's what it is. I've been very moody, and I've been upset about what I've done to all the guys who've loved me. First, there was Bart. I cussed him out. I can still remember the look on his face. I'm sorry, Bart. Second, there's Dane. I told him I hated him more than anyone in the whole world, which I did and still do. I'm sorry, Dane. Then there's Scott. You know what happened. I'm sorry, Scott. It's a whole different story. P.S. Today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. I've always believed I was him in a previous life. Why not? I could have been. I got my report card back. Mom blew a major spaz at me. Bitch. All my love, Sarah.
It went on for over a year, actually. As time went on, I started to think, I am never going to get my actual period. And this is so embarrassing. And, you know, what if I have a medical problem? and I have to go to the doctor about it, and then everyone will know.
Dear Diary, you know how everyone thinks I have my period? Well, I started going to a female doctor, and she asked me if I had my period. My mom was right there, so I had to say yes. She said, since you've started your period, you should have your iron checked. It scared me, because if I have to have that done anytime soon, they'll know I don't have my period. I'm going to wish tonight that I will start menstruating. I will wish on my magic bag. I have this little bag made of blue denim, a luck ritual that I do every night. I have in it a gold clover, purple and pink strings, and red heart earrings. Every night, I pour the contents into my hands. Then, when the digital clock changes, I shake them in my hands and wish something over and over again until the clock changes again. After the minute is up, I put the bag back on its hook, spray it once with a perfume called Navy. I have to wish for at least 3 nights before the magic starts working. After 3 nights are up, I can either choose to resign or continue the wish until it works.
So it turns out that maybe I shouldn't have been doing magic spells on the magic bag. Maybe I should have just, prayed to apparently a Presbyterian Jesus, because I was at a Presbyterian church. It was my friend's church at this lock-in when it happened. So, you know, maybe it was divine intervention.
That was Sarah in Austin at the Spider House Ballroom. Now, like Sarah, our second reader found herself in a group of peers who were speeding towards womanhood. Ellen was in high school, so menstruation was no longer the barometer for feeling grown up. Suddenly, there were new markers for maturity, things like dating and drinking and fooling around, leaving Ellen, like Sarah before her, feeling left behind.
Well, first of all, no one was trying to date me at that time, so that was also a factor. Lack of opportunities.
But instead of trying to play catch up, Ellen lashed out at her peers.
I spent a lot of time in my diary just judging people and being sort of a slut shamer.
Here's Ellen on the Mortified stage in Oakland, recounting her slut shaming days and how they led to having a period that caused an international incident.
October 4th. Brooke told me something. She said that Olivia Lowell had it with her boyfriend. Now I have no respect for her. She also said that the eighth graders do bad stuff, the drugs and boyfriend-girlfriend thing. June 27th, Dear Diary, on Sunday, my mom and I went to go see The Banger Sisters. It's rated R. It's my second R in the theater. At the end, my mom ended up telling me that once she gave my dad a handjob. I was so disgusted that I cried. I'm not stupid, but still, ew. Becky Lewis did that to someone once. She was my age. That's just gross. I'd never do something like that until I was married. I need to go to sleep. I have a sinus infection. November 25th, Dear Diary, Thanksgiving break finally. On Friday, I went to Kelly's party. It was fun. A lot of people were there. Caroline Trent was grinding with a lot of guys. Plus, she has a boyfriend. Also, this girl named Cece bent over while this one guy stood behind her and started popping. It was kind of gross. Anyway, on Saturday, I saw Peter Pan. May 25th, Dear Diary. It's just started to sink in that school's almost done. 2 weeks, finals. What has really amazed me about this year is how sexual couples are getting. Carl and Amy Bruno went all the way, and others came darn near close. There's no way I'm having sex in high school, let alone till I'm married. I really want to kiss, though. The question is, who would want to kiss me? Other than Nolan Anderson. The thought makes me gag. So, you kind of see the theme, but now we'll flash forward about 5 years. I'm in my first year of college, and you can see things start to take a different tone. So Here's an email to my best friend. April 12th. I'm a whore. I hooked up with this guy, Andrew, from my program. He's Colombian, BT dub. We hooked up at a club and then proceeded to make out in the streets of Prague, in the cab, and in this weird entry hall to our group's hostel room. Things went far. Not scary far, but enough to make me feel slutty. I had my period, kind of. And I had a tampon in when we went to the club, and I'm not sure when, but it's now stuck up there and I can't get it out. That was Saturday. And now it's Monday morning. I'm going to have to go to the ER in Berlin when I get back, but it's a holiday, so I don't know how it will all work out. I don't want to get a scary infection and die a premature death. I also feel weird because I feel like I'm not a slutty person, but sometimes I do really slutty things. I guess, in perspective, it wasn't sex, so I'm not that whorish like your roommate. Anyway, the doctor can get the tampon out, right? I'm scared, and I'm in the Czech Republic. So you guys might be curious to find out what happened. Did I get a scary infection? Where was it? So April 13th, one. This is an email to a group of friends. So one, I was in Prague this weekend, so much fun. Two, we went to the club on Saturday night with a big group. Three, I then get really drunk at the club and start making out with this guy in my program. It wasn't sex, but I probably wouldn't have prompted some of the touching that went on had he hadn't have and I hadn't have been wearing a skank dress. I'm a hoe, especially because I was on the last-ish day of my period. Four, when I went to the club, I had the tampon in. I'm almost positive. Five, when I woke up, it was not there. Six, I then convinced myself that it must be stuck somewhere because I have no recollection of taking it out. Seven, I then convinced myself that I'm going to get a grave infection and die in the Czech Republic because I don't have insurance there. Eight, when I got back to Berlin this afternoon, I went to the ER and had to tell this nurse with pink highlights, ich habe ein Problem. Ich habe einen Tampon in meiner Scheide klemmt. Translation. I have a problem. I have a tampon stuck in my vagina. It was so embarrassing. Nine, she does some looking and the tampon is not there. Where did it go? I had tried to find it, but I have no idea what's what up there. 10, I do not have a grave infection. Much love, don't judge, Ellen.
I mean, honestly, like, the only two things that could have happened were that I was drunk, don't remember taking it out, or what I really don't like to think about but could have also happened is he took it out. There's a lot of touching. I still don't really know where it went. Like, maybe it's still there. Like in the Czech Republic, like maybe it's still just like somewhere there. I think it'd be, you know, more meaningful to go on a trek or something and form a search party.
That was Ellen in Oakland at the New Parish. And this concludes our period episode about periods, where we learned that while dealing with your period is embarrassing for a lot of women, having to talk about it is so much more awkward. And in my family, this was no different.
Well, I didn't really want to tell anybody.
That's my sister, Robin, again.
There were code words used.
Yeah. Are you talking about what mom would call a maxi pad?
Yeah.
Mom would call maxi pads mazel tubs. And I don't know where that came from.
Do you understand how that could be confusing for a child?
Yeah.
Who doesn't understand what's going on? To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Priscelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher, Scott Lifton, Heather Van Atta, Shea DeGrandis, Annette Ferrara, Jessica Leith, and Ann Jensen-Smith story produced these for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts, Will Dwyer, Aparna Kumar, Tamar Abishay, Eric Bass, my sister Robin, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.